Don't you just love Easter Sunday? This day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. It happens to be one of these big family holidays. I don't know about your family. It certainly was in mine growing up. This was the typical scenario. After worship, we got together, brothers and sisters, in-laws, grandparents, cousins, friends, neighbors, for a delicious Easter dinner. Lamb or ham in my home. I don't know about yours. Then, of course, there are the Easter egg hunts and Easter baskets distributed. Some of us are accustomed to reservations at a favorite restaurant. Some of us will be sitting perhaps in front of the TV eating Chinese, right? Doesn't matter. But we do know that Easter weekend is this busy travel time. It's worth the extra effort to be with loved ones over these traditional meals in this holiest and joyous of days, correct? Yeah. It's interesting to see in our Easter story today how Matthew centers a conversation around travel as well. On the first day of the week, the women of Jesus's entourage visit the tomb and find it empty. They hear from the angel's lips, then they encounter Jesus himself on the road. And Jesus's first words for them were not just to fear, not to fear, but to instruct that the disciples to go home to tell the brothers and sisters to go to Galilee where they will see him. And Jesus says this twice. He would go ahead of them to Galilee. Galilee was almost 100 miles from Jerusalem. And in those days, you didn't do a trip like in one day. Maybe it would take 2 days at a decent walking clip, about 4 or 5 miles per hour. It could take 20 hours to get there. What would in our day it would be different because we could just get in our cars or an airplane. We'd go to our Galilees, our home, our family, our friends. 90 miles means nothing to us, not what it meant like in those days. It is ironic that the grandest event in history happened down the road from where the disciples were, and yet they couldn't see the risen Lord until they completed that 90-mile walk. They would find the risen Lord in Galilee. Oh, so close, but yet so far. Why? Why not greet the disciples in Jerusalem? Let's look at that. Why not? After all, Jesus was already in the prime spot where he was raised from the dead. Jerusalem was the place to make the splash. Herod was there, Pontius Pilate was there, the temple hierarchy was there. Everybody who had convicted and killed Jesus was in Jerusalem. The crowds who clamored for his crucifixion. Wouldn't Jesus want to visit these people to prove he was right, huh? That he was the Messiah and his predictions of being raised on the third day were true? Huh? Why not? But true to form, Jesus doesn't do this. His intention is on Galilee to pick up the ministry where it was left off. Yes? Today, our text wants us to explore for for ourselves and for our church what Galilee means to us. Where did each of us first get to know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Where did God change our lives? Think a minute. Where is your Galilee? Where did you find Jesus? Or perhaps more correctly, where did Jesus find you? Jesus found me as an 18-year-old running away from home because I thought if I just got away from the confusion from myself, I could become a new person, right? So I visited a friend who lived in all places, Hollywood, California. And on one bright, sunny summer day in California, perfect day, I discovered you can't get away from yourself. You can't just go to the next state and or miles, thousands of miles away and escape your problems. You take them with you. And I there, but I prayed, prayer that basically was Jesus, take the wheel kind of prayer, you know? And there the Holy Spirit filled me with the love of Jesus Christ there in Hollywood, California. And I've been a Christ follower since. But since that, I have been into many Galilees since that time. Galilee in a peasant's hut in Nicaragua. Galilee among the homeless children of Colombia. Galilee among the homeless addicts in New York City. Galilee in the countless people in numerous churches over the years. Galilee at the bedside, at the graveside, with the sick and the dying, those in prison, with troubled families, frightened refugees. Everywhere I turn, I realize I see Jesus. And in seeing Jesus everywhere, there is a Galilee waiting to be visited. So my question again to you is, from the text, is where did Jesus find you? Maybe not so dramatic or sudden as my encounter, maybe gradually over time. But if you're here today, God has surely called you, claimed you, touched you with his love in those broken places, the dark places, the questions, in the Galilee places of your heart. And that's where Jesus wants to encounter us today. He wants to do something more to send us forward to serve the Galileans of the world, all those forgotten people, people who live at the margins, who've been ignored, the poor, the homeless, the jobless, the refugee, the rejected, the lonely, the people who are not so important to the powers of the world, those who have been expendable by the insanely rich, but precious in the sight of God. So our gospel message is simple today: to celebrate where God has found you and to follow the angel's command and go to Galilee and discover the risen Lord in those out of the way places, the margins, the war-torn, where forgotten people live, and long for the good news to hear and for hope renewed. All those broken places in the world waiting for good news that we can bring. And there in those places, Jesus has chosen to be found once more. So today, in the days in to follow, let us find Jesus and proclaim this good news to a world in crisis, in chaos, in darkness, in war, that indeed we know the grave is empty, the stone is rolled away. Jesus is risen. He is risen. He is in Galilee, right here, we're out there. And praise God that we can carry on the ministry of love and reconciliation of Jesus Christ. In his glorious name. Alleluia. Amen.